How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Brain Damage, the show where we're only three episodes in and we're already releasing one late. We're talking about our most anticipated film of 2020 and 2021, Halloween Kills. I'm Buddy, Black Number One, the Bruiser. We've got Dig Through the Ditches and Burn Dynamite Jared, and we've got Midnight Miles, the Monster Mash Mandroid. It's Halloween, almost. We're talking about Halloween Kills. What's going on, guys?
Here we are.
Howdy.
I survived Puerto Rico. I made it back to America, so we're into this episode now.
Talk about Puerto Rico for a second. Tell us about Puerto Rico. I've never been to Puerto Rico.
I've been to Puerto Rico.
Bruiser's been to Puerto Rico, I'm surprised you got out of there in one piece, buddy, when you went, because there's not a good history of Bruisers that go into Puerto Rico.
When we went to Puerto Rico, we actually got stranded there for an extra 3 days.
Well,
God forbid, the worst thing ever. Extra
who's
3 days of the honeymoon.
Jose Gonzalez? No, Jose Gonzalez is a baseball player, I think. Some Jose or something. That was working for Carlos Colon.
Are you talking about the story where the one guy got stabbed or whatever?
Bruiser Brody!
Yeah, stabbed and killed.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah. It was cool. I mean, I feel like it really wasn't enough time there. I went for a wedding, and it was quick, but it was in San Juan. I did get to Old San Juan, which is a little bit touristy, but the buildings were cool. Walked around some, saw some old fort, you know, that was, right on the ocean that they used to, protect from, invaders by sea. That was pretty sick.
There was a torrential downpour when we went there, and we got stranded in that fort for, 6 hours. They, wouldn't let anyone leave.
And
we
were just, Old San Juan?
Yeah, we were, literally in the prisons in this fort, underground.
That's
the one that's, right on the tip of the island.
A fucking hurricane or something, or?
I mean, it wasn't a hurricane. It was just raining a lot.
When we first got there, we got into the hotel, and you could tell the storm, when we were coming from the airport to the hotel, you could tell the storms were, it was, something was brewing, real big storm, shit. Got in there about 20 minutes in, it was blinding fucking downpours. But then 2 hours later, it was, sun shining fine. So the weather's pretty wild, obviously, an island, but it was cool. People were pretty nice. Made me feel guilty that I didn't speak Spanish, though, in some of those situations, but, for the most part, it was pretty cool.
The people made you feel guilty?
Just anytime I go,
they're why would you come to my country and not speak the language? Well, kind of like the white people do here.
I just, God.
Well, you've never been in the grocery store and there's a family speaking Spanish and some white guy is speak the language if you're going to come here or something stupid.
I was renewing my license today and the guy next to me was
in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I'm surprised, guys.
Your Puerto Rican driving
license. I'm moving
to
Puerto Rico, bro. We're doing it. We're doing this international from now on.
It's not international.
It's a U.S. territory, but
it's still a different country.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's just a U.S. territory. You don't need a
passport
to get in.
This woman, this guy next to me spoke really amazing English. No bullshit. And he was from somewhere. And the woman, he said one thing with one word with a little bit of an accent on it. And the woman kind of she'd been joking already, but basically mocked him in a racist way. And I was just like, bro, really? You're 45 and you have a really shitty lip ring piercing and you work at the BMV.
Trash humor. That's why the BMV is the worst place.
Oh, Mocha, what's that, boy?
Midnight Mocha's in the house, ladies and gentlemen. He's freaking out.
He got a little stressed for a minute, boy. Why'd you get stressed?
Should we talk about the Haunted House restaurant for a minute?
We can.
Talk about it.
I already did a whole episode about it.
I haven't listened to it yet.
I will say, if you listened to my first episode about it, the second time it was a lot better than the first time we went.
I forgot what you said. The sandwich was better the second time around?
Well, the first time I got the chicken and waffles, which was fine. Not necessarily the food. I feel like the food as a whole was better this time. And just the fact that it's been open for a little bit longer, there's new artwork on the walls. I feel like it was a little less chaotic than it was when we went the first time. It feels like they have more down what they're trying to do there. Of course, we were celebrating not only your birthday, but Mazer's birthday. So we got to have the whole, purge thing happen at our table. What was that like for you?
It was funny.
I could tell you were pissed.
I wasn't pissed, but it was just funny and unexpected. I did say I fucking hate you guys. Like,
as soon as they started coming over.
Well, like, when they were coming over and doing the dancing show, I was like, okay, okay. And then, like,
they stopped at our table.
But, like, I totally forgot that it was, like, close to my birthday for some reason. I just wasn't thinking about it. And then, like, the guy came over to the PA, and they're like, happy birthday to Maisie and Jared! And I was like, oh, fuck you guys. Like, god damn it.
You like the girl in the Scream outfit going crazy?
Not as much as fucking Mazer did, man. She was, like, fucking still talking about it to this day. We were at the car dealership earlier. She was telling everybody at the dealership about it.
My experience was, like, fine. So I don't want to say it. I don't know. It's not anything bad, but I had the food and a little bit of hair in it, and that was fine.
I can't believe you're bringing this up.
You asked me what my experience was. I still ate it. But for some reason, they forgot I was there, which was fine.
You didn't have to pay.
I got a free meal.
They knew about the hair.
Maybe. I did tip 50% of what my meal was, at least, so the tip went to hopefully the Scream woman, so she can keep that up. But it was fine. Like,
so she could keep her job.
Keep her shit up. But for me, it was probably like how your first experience was. Like, for me, the thing was, like, I ate at weird times that day, and we actually ate right before we went.
We had a pre-dinner dinner.
And by the time I got there, I was like, I couldn't decide at all what I wanted, because I wanted something healthy after eating a bunch of fried shit all day, and there wasn't a lot of stuff that was, like, not fried or a burger even in the vegetarian section, which was fine, but it just, like, I think I need to go again.
I'm telling you, next time we go, you need to financially prepare yourself, because you're getting that $30 Jaws seafood pizza.
I'd be fine getting that sometime. I couldn't eat. That's not what I wanted.
I swear to God, this guy has not shut up about this fucking hair in his food since the second he went there. I found hair in my food probably 10 billion times in my life at restaurants, and never once have I ever thought about it again, like, about 5 minutes after I fucking pulled it out of the food.
I wasn't going to send it back.
You're still talking about it.
You asked me. You wanted an honest. Those were the things I remember. Hair in my food and getting free food, and I was fine with that.
But we won the horror music trivia thing. We got some coupons and stuff. Jared, talk about what you thought about the restaurant, because you said it reminded you of a lot of Japan.
It just reminds me of, like, a really shitty, like, themed cafe you'd find in Tokyo.
Really shitty.
Well, no. No, listen, I really like it, because I like shitty themed cafes. Like, that's the thing. Just most people will tell you, like, in Japan and, like, or whatever, like, if, like, a goddamn, like, okay, so I went to one. It's actually a permanent fixture. Most of the themed cafes in Japan are like temporary
things.
They're
like,
pop-up cafes. But I went to the Gundam Cafe in Tokyo, in Akihabara. And, I mean, like, you know, if you really go in there expecting it to be, like, the fucking, like, life-changing experience or whatever, you're probably going to be, like, a little underwhelmed and disappointed. Me? I fucking love it. I was like, goddamn, they're playing the Gundam, the all the different Gundam theme tunes, and got the intros rolling on the TVs. You go in the bathroom, if you turn the lights on, like, the lights are, like, they're on top of the mirror, and they're, like, LEDs, like, in the shape of, like, the Gundam eyes. Okay. And so, like, they light up, like, all slow, and it makes, like, the Gundam noises and shit, and, like, it's just like, I mean, that sounds cooler than anything that's at the
haunted house. Honestly, it sounds pretty cool, but the haunted house restaurant was exactly what I thought it was going to be for the most part. Besides, I will say, the food presentation, like, on the plate, like, when it comes out, all your guys' food, I think anyone can agree, like, they do a good job of presenting the food to you better than, like, I guess some similar restaurant.
Jared, did it turn your shit red? Because I had the same thing
I didn't notice? I didn't notice.
It's for science. You didn't check it out?
I think it did. But I can't.
Next time I go, I'm getting the Slimer, which is the green waffles, just for the experimentation.
See, I'm never going to get the waffles there again, because I thought the waffles were...
They were pretty bland.
Like, I thought the waffles
were... The chicken was good.
I thought that the waffles were kind of dry, and, like, you say, like, get the extra sauce or whatever. The chicken was fine. The whole sandwich as a whole, like, presentation, yeah, it looked great coming out. It was a fucking bitch to eat. Like, once
I really,
like,
hard, yeah.
You know, like, so, but it was a little on the dry side. you know, I hate to say it, but I want to switch to what you got.
The chicken sandwich, which was slathered in sauce. Well, it still wasn't that hot.
Swimming in sauce.
They need to work on the heat, because even when the hot chicken sandwich had all the sauce on it, it still wasn't to my
expectations. Yeah, listen, brother, if you're going to put hot on the thing, then you got to make it hot. I fucking hate that.
The haunted sauce, whatever it's called.
What are you scared of? Like, what are people scared of? It's going to be too spicy for someone? Fuck off. Listen, you put hot on the menu. It's in the haunted hot sauce or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to be spicy. Anyone that's ordering this, man, they want it to be fucking spicy. So add a little bit more kick to that fucking thing. I'm not saying go level 10 heat, but let me feel it, man. Make it at least as hot as Frank's Red Hot.
Yeah. But we will be back sometime because we have 2 15% off coupons because we won.
Maybe I'll bring some Frank's with me.
Two of the things.
You think Frank's will mix well with the haunted sauce,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Frank's mixes with everything. You can
put it on anything.
You can seriously put Frank's in like a goddamn, like, that marinara you had. We just had pizza. The marinara you just busted out, you could literally fucking dump Frank's into that and then shake it, and it would taste good. I guarantee it would taste. It might taste like a little like different, but it would, like, you won't be like, fuck, what happened? You'd be like, man, that's kind of good.
It's kind of good.
Yeah. I like Frank's and everything too.
You have to. You're vegetarian, man. Well, pescatarian, but like,
yeah.
I feel like if I ever stopped eating meat, like, I mean, I already do basically. I'm like, I already do this basically anyways, not eat meat, but put hot sauce on everything. It's like, goddamn, like, if I'm gonna fucking eat like a, I don't know what the fuck you eat, like some
anything, whatever. What do people eat these days?
I don't know, like a veggie burger, man. You throw some fucking Frank's sauce on that motherfucker.
I throw barbecue sauce. Like, I like different. Well,
okay,
barbecue
check
sauce.
It out. If you're ever cooking tofu, okay, you just got a block of tofu and you want to try and season that up, you got to throw some Frank's in there, right?
I do a lot of barbecue sauce or like teriyakis or things like that. But Frank's too. Frank's, like when I put a veggie burger together, if we're really talking about it, I'll throw like maybe like, you know, some mayo, maybe some, or I'll do like mayo, a little bit of barbecue, and maybe even some fucking hot sauce on top of that.
Frank's
get saucy.
Frank's is the best out of the mainstream hot sauces, we can all agree. Tabasco's fucking trash. And then, like, Tapatio and stuff like that, it's mid.
Let me tell you.
But Frank's is where it's at.
All right, let me say this.
Pizza night, I like Tapatio. I'm not saying I like it more than
Frank's. I'll say this. Okay, Frank's is the best. Frank's is the best out of the mainstream big name hot sauces.
Have you had that Trader Joe's hot sauce that we get here sometimes?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
But Tabasco sucks. It's too watery, but I will eat Tabasco if that's what they have.
What's the other one? It's not as big, but like
Sriracha's,
Texas Pete.
I like Texas Pete a lot.
Texas
actually,
Pete's
that's probably
good.
My that's
Texas
probably my
Pete
number two.
Slaps.
That's
Texas
my number
Pete's
two.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Listen, yo, the generic yellow label Louisiana hot sauce. That shit goes.
That
in.
Goes. Yeah, actually,
that shit goes in.
That goes in.
And the goddamn, yeah, Texas Pete is good. Sweet Baby Ray's.
I've never had their hot sauce.
Oh, their
sauce is good.
Their buffalo sauce is like a creamy buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo, it's super
good. They just call it buffalo wing sauce.
It's buffalo wing sauce, and then I don't ever get this one, but there's three different kinds of buffalo sauce for Sweet Baby Ray's. I've only had the hot buffalo and the normal buffalo. They also make one that's even creamier, that's like a creamy buffalo sauce that they do.
Do they make a buffalo blue cheese sauce maybe too?
Maybe. This is like a sauce company. They do all kinds of shit. It may or may not be in Walmart. You may be able to get it on Amazon or not. You never know.
I'd go back. Haunted House, I thought I'm going to go back for sure. That's my review. I'm
maybe I'll bring some Sweet Baby Ray's with me.
I'm telling you, you got to get that Jaws pizza. I got to see what that shit looks like.
I'm
for sure.
I want to get that or the Grudge, because the Grudge is the salmon meal with the
Market price.
The market.
How many salmon meals have you had? How many seafood pizzas have you had? None.
I've had seafood pizza before.
But like with all that shit on it?
I'd have to look again, but I've had seafood pizza a few times.
For fuck's sake, they're doing salmon. The Grudge is salmon.
Yeah. It's salmon, asparagus.
Why are they doing market price just fucking?
The thing is, like,
$12, call it a day, it's fucking salmon.
Well, it's going to be more than 12. But, like, still, the fact that they don't have a full-time price for salmon, I'm like,
everybody
are you
knows that salmon is the fucking jabroni meat. Like,
No, good salmon's
I like,
really good.
Listen, I like salmon. Don't get me wrong, I fucking like salmon. But come on, man, like,
tuna. Everybody knows that tuna is the fucking one. Salmon's like the jabroni tuna.
There's so many jabroni.
The salmon roll is always cheaper than the tuna roll at the sushi place.
Well, if you're going sushi grade, but like average tuna grade, like if you're getting something from a store or like a restaurant.
If I'm getting average, then you better just put $12 on the fucking menu.
Well,
if you're going to put market price on there, then I better come out and fillet the fucking fish in front of me.
I'm assuming it's going to be very fresh salmon. So, but anyways, all right, what else we got? We got some stuff to talk about on this.
They're like fucking getting the goddamn fish from the Tsukiji fish market in fucking Tokyo and importing it back.
Just a couple announcements before we get into Halloween Kills. Obviously, this podcast used to have a different name. So we're still running the ad that says Two Nerds. We have to record a new ad at some point. So that's been misleading for the two of you that listen to this. I apologize about that. The new Twitter handle.
The two nerds that listen to the two nerds.
Yeah. The new Twitter handle is at BrainDamageCast.
Is she a munchkin cat?
Pumpkin?
Yeah.
She was the runt of the litter, but there's nothing genetically wrong with her. She's just very small and has a big head.
Her legs are so fucking short.
Yeah, Pumpkin's a very short cat.
Miles is like, I need a fucking...
Miles is getting...
On that note, I need a goddamn
Miles beer. Is getting the beers, of course. And we have a voicemail number that people can call, tell us their shit, and then if people ever do it for some reason, we can play it on the show.
Oh, wow.
It's in the description.
Make sure it's appropriate for all audiences, please.
Yeah, because...
Even though our show definitely isn't.
So if you want to... Because...
I don't want any voicemail. Actually, I do want voicemails where it's like, oh, God, King Kong's dick fucking...
So if you want to leave us a voicemail, it's in the description of every podcast, but it's 216-694-8199. Because I figured, like, on Spotify and shit, like, if people want to give us their responses, like, on YouTube, you just comment on it. But on these other things that we're on, there's no way for people to really, like, get in touch with us. So we'll try it out. We'll see if people want to.
How'd you get this voicemail thing? This is major league.
I have my way. I have a House of Horror one, too, as well.
Wow.
That's crazy. Call and leave Brain Damage a voicemail. Is this for me?
Yeah.
Is this for me? All right.
Yeah, you gave me some pizza tonight. I got to keep finding...
Oh, nice.
You stole me $5, so this is beer.
My God.
Cheers, Kat.
Jesus Christ.
Kung pie.
Kung pie.
Did you say kung pie?
Was that what you said?
Kung pie.
Oh, okay.
Kung pie.
Kung pie. All right. Halloween Kills. Jared, let's get into it, bro.
What do you want me to get into?
Don't you got something to say? You've been waiting for this for years, bro.
I got some stuff. I just want to
get... He's whipping out notes.
I wrote down some stuff that I wanted to...
Okay, I was counting on you to be ready to lead into this. Miles, you just watched the film.
I just watched it.
What'd you think of the water pressure on that fire hose, Miles?
Okay, you want to say some as we're talking about that? Did it look, because I'm watching
this. It looked like he was getting hit with a fucking super soaker. No,
yeah, but what else was I going to talk? It looked like somebody was still putting out the fire on the top while everyone else was getting murdered. Rewatch the film and watch the right corner. Someone is shooting the flames with water while all of their fucking fellow firefighters are getting murdered. 100%. I was cracking up at that.
You have the freshest take, so what? Just hop right in. What do you think?
Okay, because it's a mystery to us what you think, because Jared and I's Letterboxd ratings are out into the world. I already did my spoiler-free review with both of you guys have listened to, so you know my thoughts on it. Miles is the enigma right here.
Your spoiler-free thoughts were very negative for the most part.
They were.
I have some more...
I was like, this guy gave this a 3.5.
Quite a bit during it, too. I was like, buddy, it's okay. You're allowed to feel
half this. Half the review was like, sorry if I'm scramble-minded here. I just saw the movie. I'm really excited about it. Like,
all right. I'm just going to go through quickly, like, because it is very fresh in my mind. When it first hit, it first started, the first probably until the title scene, felt very, like, I didn't like the way it was either edited or paced. Like, it felt...
Mocha snoring.
No, not Mocha, just fucking already bitching about the pace and we didn't title card yet.
No, but it felt like... It almost felt like the scenes were on, like, 1.5 speed, but they weren't, like... Things were happening.
Yeah, they
fast.
Were rushing through flashbacks. They had to fucking probably fucking put in like an hour, 2 hours worth of flashback into like 5 minutes.
I that part, I was just like, oh, I hope the whole film's not like this.
Of course it's not. It's a fucking flashback.
No, but I meant like just the way that everything, not just the flashback. Like, well, technically it was all different flashbacks from 1978, 2008. I mean, the whole thing technically takes place in 2008. The rest of the story, 18, excuse me. Oh God, that pizza's hit me, bro. But
what flashback in 2018?
At the very beginning, which I missed on my first viewing.
Okay.
Because this film must have literally had no trailers at all. Because when I walked in, it said, like, Halloween 1978. And I was like, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then I was like, I felt like I missed something. And then sure enough, I pulled it up on Peacock later. And there's that whole, like, 90 seconds or whatever, like, at the beginning.
When the boyfriend finds
the cop, yeah. I missed all that in the theater. There was fucking, I was trying to get my popcorn.
I feel it.
I don't know. That didn't really seem that rushed to me, but whatever.
I never thought about anything he's saying at all once. This is like, I never thought about anything.
Typical of Miles' comments here. I never thought about that.
No, I mean, that's my initial reaction. I'm like, oh, God, they're trying to do a lot really quick. I don't know. And like, I just felt like some of those scenes, especially if you guys felt like it was there was a lot of filler in this film.
The entire film was filler.
I feel like...
Not the entire film.
But I feel like there were
There were plot developments.
I feel like...
One at the beginning that was already given away in the trailer, and then one at the end.
So how many is that?
Two.
A couple.
Listen. If you want to ask my opinion, I feel like the scenes...
Well, there was also one very big plot development.
We'll get to it. Miles, say what you're going to say in the middle of the scenes
in the beginning where they're talking about... They called him Frank. What was his last name? The
Hawkins.
Hawkins. Lori calls him Frank. But Hawkins, I feel like he was one of the quote-unquote... There is a cast of main characters besides Lori in this.
He's a main character,
I feel like,
yeah, yeah.
He's a big part of this film. I feel like they were trying to drive his story, his plot point, where they keep talking about, which we'll talk about later. I feel like this leading in, I just wish they would have paced his flashback scenes where he's the young cop and what's happening on Halloween night. Just certain things just a little bit better because I feel like that
fuck,
is
you want
a
it to be 30
point.
Minutes of the fucking flashback scene?
They could, no. But
fuck,
they,
he went back to his house and they fucking, he killed somebody else and they caught him.
Just, your fucking boy is in the flashbacks though, the dude from Mirror on the Dying Room.
I know, I was so fucking pumped. I was so
All right.
Let Miles get his shit out so we can get past the opening credits.
But
wrap this up.
Well, if you guys weren't interrupted 15 fucking times saying the same dumb
shit.
Well,
I want to talk about my top 10 games of all time again.
You should. Fuck. We'll be here till next year, till the next Halloween comes out.
Halloween for Atari.
Buddy, you talked about it in your House of Horrors, like some of your stuff briefly. Good special effects. Obviously, a ton of kills. It's called Halloween Kills, for fuck's sake. It's just... You hated the subplots, I guess. The subplots
didn't
bother.
It's not that I hated them. It's just it was nothing.
They didn't really do anything.
The sub added for the body count, essentially. But the subplots for me, like all the characters bring back Tommy, which we'll talk about more, things like that. None of that bothered me because they're not going to make three full films that are the same. Like they need to give Lori time to heal, give her time to prep. I like that they kept her in the dark. For part of the film, like she didn't know that Michael was, even though she's screaming, let him burn on that. But,
I don't like how they literally share zero scenes together.
She's also, fucking on drugs, like the entire movie. So when she wakes up, she could easily think, everyone's telling her, yeah, we got him. She could easily think, okay, that. Where the fire trucks flew past, like, that was a nightmare. That was,
right, like, right, right.
She passed out instantly after she started screaming.
That's actually a good take on that. I didn't mind the subplots because I just felt like this one, to let you guys start, I'm not going to talk about everything right now, but this one pretty much felt exactly what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be better than it was, but pretty much without knowing the story, pretty much exactly what I thought it was going to be.
So do you like the film? Because Jared and I both gave it 3.5 stars.
I gave it 3.5. I almost gave it 3, but I gave it 3.5. I like 2018 better. I think 2018's a better film.
2018's
well,
better,
well,
yeah.
Obviously.
2018's a better film. It's a better story.
That's the problem. Like, I'm not arguing with the tone of this. The tone is spot on. the fucking ultra violence, the abundance of kills, all awesome. This is my favorite part of the movie. It's great. It made it a fun movie. My argument here is that if you were going to do a trilogy of movies, you knew you had that middle movie, like, your subplots didn't accomplish fucking fuck all in the movie. Like, they didn't do anything. Write a fucking, like, don't write a filler movie. Write, like, some story, like, more storyline progression. Like, let the movie build up, build up, and build up more. Because I kind of agree with Buddy that at the end, like, I did kind of feel like, oh, shit, all right, now we're cooking. Here we go, you know what I mean? And then, boom, it was over.
To me, this was, what was Judy Greer? What was her name? What was this?
Karen.
To me, this was Tommy and Karen's film.
Which is fine.
But they didn't really do anything.
They did
until the end.
Tommy was in the film a shit ton.
Yeah, he got his little mob together. Everyone hates the mob. I mean, I thought the mob was hilarious.
It was fun. Like, people, the thing is, people would do that in real life, especially if there's been haunted.
I don't know if it would be that over the top.
It wouldn't be where they were maybe. It wouldn't be them rushing through the hospital. Spoilers.
I think that it was trying to make like a political statement.
Which it was. It wasn't trying. I mean,
but very obvious. Like, but it was, like, too over the top to, like, really, like, even hit home with me.
Like, you're spending at least 25% of the movie, if not even more, of them freaking out about this fake Michael Myers.
That was so funny. That was so fucking funny. Everybody hated that scene, and I was seriously just in the theater laughing the entire time.
One of the funniest scenes.
Every time it just cut to him, and he was just like, like being all pitiful running down the hall, and then it just like cuts back to just like a fucking mob of people just like, just like chasing after him, and just like crying, laughing.
The funniest scene in the film for me is like in the initial couple minutes of the film, the kid, the comedic humor from the first film, the boyfriend's friend, with the curly, dumb hair. He gets impaled through the fence.
Right.
His mom shows up earlier in the hospital. And then they do a hard zoom, an Okada zoom, we'll call it. She looks in the window, and it's like, the camera goes, and she's like, ah! And then it zooms in on his naked body. He's just laying there, zooms in on his fucking just pale corpse. And then it's, it caught me so off guard, because it was like, the cuts were very quick there, and I just started crying.
That whole scene was just so fucking chaotic that I just couldn't help but laugh. Seriously, I know that I said nothing happens in this movie, but, like, nothing of consequence happens at all during this. Like, nothing comes of this. It's all just a build-up to this guy fucking jumping out a window. But while this is happening, like, 10 billion fucking things happen while it's going on. Like I said, none of them of consequence, but it's just like the camera's just cutting. It's like different things. It's just like just shit's happening like everywhere. And then one of the funniest scenes in the fucking movie and like has to do after all this happens. And like honestly, in these new movies, and he's a character I have in my notes, is why does he even exist? But for some reason, he's like my favorite fucking character in these new movies. Is the fucking sheriff guy. I fucking love this guy, and I wish they would give this motherfucker something to do.
He didn't have anything.
He had nothing to do in 2018, and he had nothing to do in this one. Like in 2018, he went around and asked some questions. Like that's what he did in this. Has he? He's never even encountered Michael Myers yet.
I don't think so.
I'd have to rewatch the other one.
Like he just keeps showing up after Michael Myers is like left his mark, and he like basically just comes in like, damn. But like, so like the whole riot and everything fucking happens, and then like everything's starting to calm down a little bit, and everybody's sad. The guy killed himself. They all know it's not Michael Myers now. How the fuck they thought this guy was Michael Myers is anybody's guess. He was at least
2 foot shorter than Michael Myers, but anyway,
like not even close. Even like Tommy Doyle saw him multiple times. Okay, and like I know he hasn't seen Michael in 2018 in like present time, but he saw Michael Myers like fresh as like
he wasn't 4 foot nothing
when he was 1978. He saw Michael Myers like basically fucking point blank range. Like Michael Myers was standing right behind fucking Laurie when they ran like out of the house. So he knows like how tall this guy is. And so, like, it's just, it's just kind of ridiculous. And he knows his mannerisms and like he doesn't fucking hop like a, you know, whatever. Anyways, everything's starting to calm down, and then it just cuts to a shot. Everybody's being, it just kind of cuts between people being sad and shit. Cuts to the sheriff guy, and he just walks down the steps of the hospital, sits down, and just looks at his fucking 10-gallon hat, got stomped. And he just puts his, he just puts his head in his hands.
Well, he's sitting there, it's not even him walking. It does a slow zoom up. So I just, it's his hat, stomped hat, and it just zooms up, and he's just like, staring like he lost his best friend. Like that was a
that's his character. Yeah. That's his character arc in the movie. He's is that he lost his hat.
He's just fucking defeated. Like a guy's life, he just had lost all control.
So that was good.
So you guys said my review was very negative. I love that the movie just reminded me that I was watching a trashy slasher.
Like, yeah, I agree.
But again, like when I'm coming to something as like highly regarded to me as Halloween in 2021. I want something a little more than that. Like, it's not fucking, like, Halloween 5 where it's like, all right, you know what to expect. Like, in this, I thought, like, as you said, like, if you're planning a trilogy of films, like, you'd figure this second one, it would have something more than... It was literally just leading up to the
I
next
like,
one.
I like the trashy element to it, but I, like, again, I don't think that has anything to do with just, like, story advancement. Like, there just was barely fucking any in this movie. The story... I mean, like, spoilers, fucking Laurie's daughter dies at the end of the fucking movie. So that's the second, like, plot advancement. Other than that, the other plot advancement is, guess what? Michael Myers is still alive. He survived the fire. You saw that in the fucking trailer. And now he's on another fucking... He's still on his fucking rampage. And the movie just stays there. It's just his fucking rampage. And, like, I guess Laurie finds out, everybody finds out he's still alive. I don't know. They're just, like, I don't know. I don't have any suggestions of what they could have done. But, like, I mean, at least something.
There is that scene in the middle when Laurie and Hawkins are sort of having, like, that heart-to-heart. And it's sort
I
of,
love
it's,
that
it's
scene,
sort of,
actually. I love that scene,
it's sort of, like, implied that he's the father, which... could lead to something, but it's not leading to anything like Michael Myers related.
Well, he said though in the hospital that he goes,
you know, he fucking popped when they said Ben Tramer. I know you were fucking. God. I was screaming.
He's like, but you were hot for Ben Tramer or something. You know? I was like, where? Honestly, I popped, but then I was like, where is Ben Tramer?
It is implied that he is still alive.
Where is Ben
if
Tramer?
If he comes back in this third film, I don't want to see Ben Tramer in this third film. I want it to remain a mystery. It's
is
been
it,
a mystery
it,
for so
is
long.
Is this like an inside joke to John Carpenter that
I
like fucking
so.
Ben Tramer's just never, the only time he's ever been seen on camera, he was wearing a mask and he got hit by a fucking car that exploded? One of the funniest scenes in Halloween history is when Ben Tramer gets hit by a fucking police car. I think it's a police car, right?
It's a police car.
It just flies into him and then just explodes.
Because you're thinking this cop in this
and
police car.
And the guy
car,
gets out and he's like, I didn't see it.
Because you think he's taking a chance. You think he's like, all right, that's Michael. He's going to take him out. The first thing he says, he gets out of the car. He came out of nowhere.
I didn't see him.
Speaking of the cop, though, he says specifically that he wanted more with Laurie, but he never had it. So he's not. I don't think he's going to be the dad. Because he said all he got that night was a kiss and a hug and a dance. But he goes, I wanted more, but
that's true.
You had the hots for Ben Tramer. So yeah.
It's kind of strange to me that she still had the hots for Ben Tramer after
a couple years.
Yeah, because this had to be. Yeah, this had to be. Because
he's older. I mean,
he
has to be a couple years older. I mean, he's not in high school. Yeah,
he was probably. I assumed the young version of him was probably 21 in that because he was like very young still.
He was just like a rookie cop.
Yeah, like she was probably 18. He was 21. Probably down the line. You
so
know.
Speaking of the younger version of him, what do you guys think of Donald Pleasance returning to the fucking big screen? How do you look to you? Because I thought he looked incredible.
I thought he looked pretty good,
I mean,
to be honest.
Ever since Star Wars Rogue One, and I saw what they did to Peter Cushing, I was like, I'm surprised they don't do more of this in film. Like in Doctor Sleep, if they would have had the actor actually look like young Jack Nicholson instead of just a fucking guy. But yeah, he looked fucking great.
Sometimes it works.
I just thought he was there. Like
no,
he came in, and I was like, this looks incredible. Like That's all I can say because I know he's dead. But if, like, if he wasn't dead and they just fucking, like, brought him in and he looked exactly how he looked in Halloween 1 like he did there, I'd be like, God damn, Donald Pleasance looks fucking great. Like, I wouldn't have even thought about CGI.
Were they using lines from the beginning of Halloween 2? I couldn't tell.
I think they just got, like somebody that did a really good Donald Pleasance impression.
Well, I know for some of it, but I can't remember if at the beginning of Halloween 2 he, like, goes into a house and is, like, talking to someone. I mean,
they could have been. It really could have been left over. A lot of those, because they did that for what? Star Wars has done that before. They got leftover scene, like, voice scenes they had seen and cut them into something that was part of, like, the new film. So I was kind of hoping one of you had looked it up or something, because I was curious.
I just assumed that somebody that did a really good Donald Pleasance impersonation, Dr. Loomis impersonation, just kind of did, like, a voiceover on it.
But yeah, I thought it looked great. Because
he just came
in
and was like, did he kill again or whatever? Yeah. And, like, I don't remember him ever saying that in any of the movies.
No, I thought it was, I thought it had to be maybe, like I said, either like some old clip they used, so I decided to use it for this, or maybe, like you said, someone.
But damn, he looked great. They did a really good job.
The only thing that I noticed that made me wonder, almost for a split second.
Maisie didn't even fucking notice that it was, like, anything fucking weird, but she noticed that I was fucking marking out. She's like, why is he fucking marking out? I was like, because this guy's been dead for fucking, like,
30 years
he's been dead since, like, what, 1995?
Something around there. Like, right after Halloween 6.
The second flashback, when they're asking, like, when, I'm just going to keep calling him
Frank. After they finished production on it, because he died before.
Fun fact, but, like, this film, now Jamie Lee Curtis has been in more films than Donald Pleasance in Halloween.
Wow.
She's been in 6, he was only in 5.
That is a fun fact.
Because he wasn't in Halloween 3, obviously.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I think of him like being in like so many, and now she's been in more than him, and it's just like weird.
Well, you know, his ass would have been in every single goddamn one if he never died.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he would still be in it fucking today.
Could you imagine him in Resurrection?
Like, he would. Here's the thing: he would have been in the Rob Zombie ones too. Maybe not as himself.
Right. Yeah.
But he would have been in like he would have been a different character, making a cameo, or maybe even a major character. Because, Danielle Harris is in those, and she plays a major character in it.
Right, she's like the best friend.
Can I do a hot take if we're bringing
it up?
Is
she Annie? I think
she's Annie. She's either Annie or the other one. Yeah.
Can you do a hot take? We're talking about trashy slasher. There were parts of this, just like certain scenes, certain things, that reminded me of Rob Zombie's Halloween films. Did you get any, like...
There's violence and gore, and violence and gore.
No, but just some of the way. No, but I mean, just some of the.
It's what Rob Zombie's Halloween films should have been. Ultra violence. That was never my problem with the Rob Zombie films. The kills are always fucking awesome, but this didn't fucking have all the stupid fucking bullshit that's in those.
Right. I know. I understand. Even though I like it,
I liked the first one at the time, but then now when I look back on it, and it's like too revealing for Michael, and his backstory is the laziest, stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. He came up in an abusive home. Okay, this sucks. Like, wow, why didn't you just make a movie about fucking like John Wayne Gacy or something stupid?
The white girls would have popped for that. But I had something else I wanted to talk about, but now we got to. But that was just something I noticed. It reminded me of the Rob Zombie Halloween film.
The violence is definitely similar. I'll say that. The violence of it all, because it's just like this ultra gritty, like,
I think
fucking,
when his
like,
mask,
violence.
Too, and it was burned, other things like that. Like, it just, like, I just was having, like...
They didn't do anything fucking stupid, like have his goddamn half his fucking face out for, like, the entire movie.
They didn't. But we did get to see some of his face in this. Probably.
Okay, you get to see some of his face in the original. I had no problem with it in this or in 2018, because it's like, okay, you see it. It's just like the original. And like this, I was like, okay, yeah, I could see his face. but it's a shot from like fucking 20 miles away.
It's out of focus.
Yeah,
but in this they show, you know, they show his face. He's putting it back on the side of his head. I was just surprised that they would.
It's like really quick shots, just like in the original movie. They fucking, you know, rip the mask off, and he comes into light for just enough, and it's not even enough time for you to really fucking see what he looks like. You're just like, but his face is there. You're like, oh, goddamn, like, there's his fucking face. I still couldn't fucking tell you what he looks like in that fucking first movie. I know that John Carpenter thought it was funny because the actor that actually played him was actually, like, a really handsome guy.
Yeah.
And so, like, when he comes into the frame, he said, like, during the premiere, like, all the... like, women in the audience screamed like they were seeing something horrifying, but it was just this normal, like, handsome-looking guy with one of his eyes closed.
God, I had another talking point on that.
What else do your notes say?
Okay, so, did you guys notice the little continuity error here? There was a huge fucking continuity error during the car scene. Where Michael Myers is, it's kind of like a homage to Halloween 1, where he's climbing up on the car, he escapes the Smith's Grove. Okay, so he's doing that, and he's killing everybody. Okay, so the nurse girl, who's actually a doctor, dressed as a nurse, and her husband's a nurse dressed as a doctor.
Right.
She gets a gun, she jumps out of the window of the car. Alright? The scene proceeds for like another 5 fucking minutes. And this entire time, I'm like, where the fuck did this nurse girl go? She jumped out of the fucking car. What the fuck happened? Michael gets done killing everybody in the fucking car. Just literally murders everybody, her husband, everything. And now this girl is like, hey, I'm 50 feet away from you, and I'm going to walk back towards you and start shooting you.
I thought that whole scene was pissed, to be honest. The character choices were all really bad. Like, instead of them shoot the
nurse. There wasn't a single fucking brain cell amongst them.
No, like, the old nurse from the original was just shooting out the window, and clearly he was stomping on top. Just, it was just bad, and then...
Just drive!
Huh?
Just drive!
Or just don't shoot. She was literally wasting all her bullets. Like, Michael Myers put his hand on the side.
If he's jumping on top of the fucking car, drive, and he's going to fall off.
It wasn't the whole thing. It was the other woman who was already out there with the keys.
She was, but goddamn, like, you could drive forward and then drive back and run his ass over anything.
But if they didn't have the keys, I don't know.
That's what I think. I think that was the whole thing, if I remember right, was she got out with the keys. But still, didn't make any sense. I laughed when the guy who went back in. I like the little thing where the doctor who's dressed up for Halloween, the nurse, he went back into the bar to get his, remember, stethoscope. And then he uses it to try to choke Michael Myers in the fucking car. And I laughed. Like, obviously, it was supposed to be, I don't know if it was supposed to be funny, but it was fucking funny. Because Michael was like, looked at him like, are you fucking kidding me? They're trying this. I was like, man, that took some balls for him to try to do that. Because there was no way it was going to hurt him. Then he gets probably one of my favorite kills in the film, where he gets stabbed in the eye and they show it up close.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I think my favorite kill came right after that.
With the gun on the face.
Oh my god, it was so fucking funny. Yeah, she goes to shoot him, and just kicks the door, and it whips the gun into her face right as she shoots.
That was a Desert Eagle too, wasn't it?
So funny. It was a revolver, I believe, of some sort.
No, the girl had the revolver. The old woman had it because she ran out of bullets. Mm. She fired it 6 times, and then she legit, the little boy from the beginning, who's now an adult, the boyfriend, not Tommy, the other guy, the one that gets picked on by the kids and he cowers.
Oh, Lonnie.
Lonnie, that's right. Yeah, I gotta watch again. I can't remember.
He's in the original.
He was the one that was picking on Tommy in the original.
He goes up to the door in the original, too, of the Myers house.
You're right.
And Dr. Loomis is like, you better get out of here, Lonnie. or, you know, like that whole fucking deal. And he's like, and he runs away. That scene was really funny. And I just like, God, like, why was she 50 feet away from the car? What took her so, like, why did she just ditch her fucking husband? Like,
that scene was just,
like,
pretty
even,
fucking stupid. Like, I like stupid shit, but it was pretty just stupid all
even
around.
Even, like, a fucking, just a quick scene of her, like, running away and then just being like, oh shit, like, whatever her husband's name is, just like say his name, like, fuck. No. Like, she was like, so, like, scared that she forgot about him until, like, she didn't, and then she ran back to try and help him, and then she got killed. Even something like that, it's still stupid. Like, how do you forget your fucking
husband?
Especially
because all these were grown adults that were in the medical, educated grown adults, all medical professionals who should have at least been able to, like, think a little bit. Like, I don't know, you know. Like,
they were all doctors or a nurse in real life, because even the old lady was the nurse from the original.
Right. From Smith's Grove, yeah.
She looked great, by the way. I was surprised after all. I mean, like, she looked like, I was like, oh, wow, she's like probably fucking 70 now, and I can still recognize her.
Yeah, you know? I could recognize her.
So, okay, the one thing that fucked me up, and I know you guys will be able to help me with this, because I was having a brain fart when I was watching it. It's been a busy day. The woman who is Lindsay, that she is she the other little girl? Remember how there's the three of them in this? From there's Tommy, the nurse.
Lindsay's the girl that Lori was fucking, or the Annie was babysitting.
That's what I thought. Okay, I got a little because the scene happened quick.
Yeah,
and I wasn't paying attention. I couldn't remember her name either. But okay, that's what I thought. All right, that's who I thought that was. Okay,
and she's still alive, right?
Yeah, she. Yeah, she lived through the whole film.
Yeah, she's still...
She hid in the woods and then didn't really do much else after that.
Well, okay, there was a scene, and I thought, I hope I'm not losing my mind, but I thought Michael choked her at one point.
They were fighting in the woods, but she got away.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because I thought she might have hit his mask off. Again, I watched this, today's been busy, but something, and I thought the cut happened really quick. It's like, oh, what happened to her?
She, like, went, like, hid in a ditch. He was either, like...
I saw her in the ditch.
He might have got his eyes poked or something because he couldn't see.
Okay, okay.
And, like, he was, like, kind of, like, wandering around, like, trying to listen for
it. And then he stood on the bridge for, like, a fucking 20 minutes.
Had an emotional moment, yeah.
And then he fucking left. I liked the way the water was reflecting on him. It reminded me of Jason.
I guess when we're talking about this, the film... It is kind of all over the place. It's very chaotic, but I feel like maybe the tone, you talked about liking the tone a lot. It's consistent, but when I think about a lot of the character choices, some make really good choices. A lot of them make the worst ever. And like, I don't know, just when I'm talking about this, it does seem very disjointed the more I talk about this film. Not necessarily the tone, but the tone of how the characters act at times.
I think that... It's okay because it is a slasher movie, and that's just like an homage to like slasher films in general. If Laurie Strode is out there acting like a fucking idiot, then we have problems. And I think that's probably why it wasn't as... I feel like maybe... I don't remember. I watched it again last year, but I don't remember how some of the side characters behave in 2018. I want to say most of them were really fucking stupid in that, too. You don't notice it as much because...
Yeah, they're all high school kids, because, too. A lot of the ones that get killed are the high school kids.
Because Lori is interacting with Michael a lot in that movie, and she's not fucking stupid.
Right.
And neither are her daughter, like her daughter and granddaughter.
You talked about it on yours, and one that obviously bothered me a lot and bothered me throughout the film, even though it's stupid. The boyfriend and the granddaughter, I know bothered you...
It didn't bother me at all. Because the first thing he says when he comes up to her, I'm sorry, I'm such a fucking idiot. He's trying to apologize.
He does say
but
that.
She's got bigger fish to fucking fry, and that's totally fucking understandable. She knows that Michael Myers is still out there, and so she's like, listen, shut the fuck up. We're gonna fucking go after Michael Myers. Like, this is more important. And it is.
She did. I will say the thing that saved that for me was that her face was perfect when he came up to talk to her, because her facial expression to me was like disgusted with him, and then like he knew right away and he got to business. But I think just because his character for the whole film of 2018 was such a douche that I was like, oh, do I buy in that he saw the cop? Because he's the one that got, Hawkins the help he needed. So maybe he it was like him growing up real quick. Like, oh, I got to do a serious shit. I got to take care of this. I got to be a man. So like, but like his still character.
Well,
he was ready
to apologize even in 2018. So, when he noticed that she noticed him, he was instantly like, fuck. Like,
so.
But she lost her boyfriend, or she lost her cell phone because of him, right? Didn't he fuck her cell phone up in 2018? Like threw it in something? And that's why she didn't have a cell phone at the end of it?
Something like that. But as I was saying earlier in this show, I came into the theater slightly late, and I didn't even see that scene in the beginning where
shit.
He was like,
I didn't even realize that was at the very beginning. I thought it was like a Like in the middle of
where the first scene.
Where he was like leaving a voicemail like, oh shit, I fucked up, blah, 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 blah. So I went the entire film thinking it had never even been addressed.
But, no, no, he didn't leave it in a voicemail. He did the first time he saw her. But he ran.
He probably left a voicemail too.
No, but at the very, because
when he first sees her too, when they first reunite in person, he apologizes in person, and she basically like shuts him down and is like, "We need to do this." She doesn't accept his apology. She doesn't reject it. She's like Michael Myers, basically. Yeah. She's like all business, which I thought was.
And then he gets this, like, "Oh, me and my dad are gonna go after him." Like he basically just never, you know.
Okay. But he died, and there was sweet justice, but it wasn't as sweet as you'd want it to be, because now, throughout the course of the movie, he's been kind of redeeming himself a little bit. So, when he died, I kind of thought to myself, like, God, this isn't as fucking satisfying as I wanted it to be. They should have fucking killed him in the first movie. Like, right after the cheating scene, he should have been the one walking home and gotten killed in the fucking yard.
They probably... Did they have all three of these written?
They should have... They should have fucking flipped it. They should have flipped his friend with him.
And they probably did that for this exact reason, to fuck with us. Be like, oh, you wanted this bastard. Now we're going to make you almost like him by the end of the second film.
I still didn't like him, but at the same time, I didn't fucking, like, hate him anymore.
He became believable.
I get that there's bigger fish to fry and all that, but there were, like, so many scenes where it was just the two of them, like, alone. Like, I feel like... As you said, his death would have had, like, a bigger impact if they would have had some sort of conversation about it.
I was waiting for the conversation. While we're on this, in the original trailer, at the end of the original trailer, isn't there a scene of him walking with, like, a flashlight or something? And then, I don't know if it was the way the trailer was cut, but then it looked like he was the one distracting Myers. And then she turns around to try to stab him, which she does. But she says, obviously, it's the scene that's still in the film. Go ahead and do it. And then she's referring to her mom. But wasn't that how the original trailer ended?
I don't recall.
I thought it was classic Blumhouse, where they have a scene that's done, and that's
it's like a reverse in the film. But I don't remember the trailer.
I remember that very vividly, that he was already downstairs with her. Because it kind of caught me off guard when he was obviously killed upstairs on the steps. He did take quite a bit of damage in his kill.
He got fucking mutilated.
I was yelling at
the TV. It was one of the most brutal kills in the fucking movie.
I was yelling at the TV like, bro, just play that you're dead. Because you're sitting there like kind of shaking and breathing like, just let Michael Myers walk past you, bro. And he's just doing that. And Michael like looks back. He's like, oh, all right, really? Snap.
I mean, he was gonna die regardless. At that point, I said in the theater, like when he snapped the neck, and Maisie was like, "No!" Like, because he totally got redeemed to her.
You gotta think, this is an 18-year-old kid who probably has never had to deal with any real world shit. And I will say, when he got thrown in the fire, I guess he did all right. I mean, but. So that's why I was kind of like, all right, I get it. He's a fucking, we all know some douchebag 18-year-old kids that have cheated on their people and are pieces of shit, so.
But, yeah, he snapped the neck, and she was like, no, and I was like, honestly, like, that was a fucking mercy kill at that point.
Right.
Like, because he was just dying slowly on there, and Michael Myers was just like, yeah, fuck you, and just fucking snapped his neck, which was hard.
It was hard. How about the gay couple that lived in his house? I love them for some reason. They just this were is
like
hilarious.
Joel and Dan's like least favorite part of the movie.
they were very poorly written, but again, it's 80s trash. So like, I didn't have a problem with it.
I thought they were funny, and then they like fucked with the kids who, you know, they had the Halloween 3 masks. I liked them. I thought it was a cool little touch that they were living in like Myers' house and someone to move into it and stuff like that. Like, just a little, I don't know. I just like that part of the movie. It could have been not in there at all, but I liked it. Like,
I like the way Michael in this film, because like he doesn't really do this in like the other older sequels, but like in these two, you get more of what you see in the original, where he's like really staging the bodies. Because, like, he does like the thing with Judith Myers or whatever. Like,
yeah, in this one. Joel talked shit on that because. In the comments, he was like, "What's up with it? Like, he's setting all these bodies up. Since when does Michael Myers
did you not watch the original bodies?"
And I literally responded with the picture of Judith Myers in the bed, and I was like, "Michael Myers staged bodies in the original movie.
You just didn't
like Laurie. Laurie goes through like the entire bodies at the end. Like he has them all fucking set up for her. Like she opens the closet and the fucking body like is falling down, hanging. Judith Myers. Well, it's I think it's Annie that's on the bed, like sprawled out with the Judith Myers tombstone,
and then whoever was in the closet or whatever.
Yeah.
But and then one of the scenes that I love that like we've never seen Michael actually stage a body before, but we get the scene of him like in the kitchen where he just has like the knife block and he's just like
that's
grabbing
so good.
Knife and stabbing it.
That was so good, and I like the way that he like balls his fist after he does. He's like,
I popped in that scene. Okay, so the scene with the woman and she's flying around the drone. That whole sequence, I love that sequence. I thought that guy was hilarious. Like, when he sees Michael and he's just like, ah! I was like, here we go. I'm in. You know, I was like, I'm really excited. And then I, like, before that, I popped for this. Does anyone know what film was playing on their little TV in the kitchen?
I wasn't paying attention.
It was The Fun House. Toby Hooper's The Fun House.
Oh.
And I was like, so I'm a huge mark for that film. So I popped. I didn't know what the gay couple was watching when he was smoking weed at the end. Does anyone know that? Does anyone get that?
Again, I wasn't paying attention.
I think actually in the theater, when they were watching something, I think that I noticed that it looked familiar, but I didn't know what it was.
I couldn't tell. It was something 70s, but I didn't know what it was. But The Fun House, I was like, oh, nice. Like, I popped at that, but I love that film. I like those little tidbits from, like, directors and writers that love horror, because we just watched, and we talked about on the other podcast, Candyman. The one thing I didn't talk about on that podcast is when they walk into the laundromat and that main guy's reading, he's reading Clive Barker's Weave World. So just, like, I love those little, if you're a horror fan, those little Easter eggs. A lot of modern horror directors do it more so than ever.
Because Clive Barker wrote Candyman, didn't he?
I don't think so.
I think it's based off of a Clive Barker story.
It is. It's a Clive Barker short story.
Oh, I didn't. I learned something on the podcast today.
Something more about Clive Barker than you do, Miles.
I'm actually reading a Clive Barker novel right now.
It's based on one of his short stories, but a lot of the aspects in the film universe are not. His race is never mentioned in the Clive Barker story or anything like that. Whereas, it's a huge thing in the in the Candyman films, not just the new one, but even
in
the
original.
Hey, I learned something on the podcast today. It's possible I've heard it before, but I've still never seen Candyman 3. I don't know if I admitted that in another podcast.
It's terrible. I've never
seen the third one.
What's it called? It's Farewell to the Flesh. Like,
I've only ever seen the first one and then the new one.
Yeah, so. I mean, keep it that way. Candyman 2.
I liked it.
It's okay. It's fine. I don't remember anything about it, but I remember that I didn't hate it. And I watched all three of them when I was very early into my horror watching career. And even then, when I watched Candyman 3, I was like, man, this sucks. Like, it wasn't very good at all. Miles will love it.
I'll get to one. I'm a sucker for... I love horror sequels. I mean, I think anyone knows that about me. But I'm not going to say they're all great. But if it's something in a universe I like, I can pretty much watch whatever. As long as it's not... As long as it's not Hellraiser, Hellworld. Fuck, that film's bad. But,
what else do you have to say about Halloween Kills?
I mean...
You always complain we don't let you get your shit in.
So oh, no, I'm getting it in. I wish we would have... God, I had a lot to say. I was ready. As soon as I left watching it... No, as soon as I left watching the film, I was like, all right, I'm ready to do this fucking podcast. I like Tommy's story. You talked about how...
He's a trash actor.
He's Anthony Michael Hall?
He blows in this. It's fine. Again, it's fine, but it's not good.
Most of the actors in the movie, I thought, were piss. Except for
Jamie Lee Curtis. Some of the dialogue was written.
The dialogue was fucking dog shit.
I want to say some of it, They just were very unnatural lines. I feel like, did anyone notice a lot of the granddaughter's lines were like absolute piss, like the way they were written?
I thought that the entire Strode family's lines were like the better of like everybody in the movie.
Judy Greer's, her, like the mother, I thought she was great. I thought her lines were great, but I didn't, I think 50% of What's-Her-Face's lines were not good. I feel like they were trying to force the granddaughter to be becoming this badass. I mean, she does do badass shit in the first one, but I feel like some of the lines in this, like, I wasn't fully sold that she was, like, there yet still. Does that make sense? I don't know.
When I was watching the film, I didn't think this in the first one, but in the second one, I was like, damn, I wish they would have got Allison Hannigan to play the fucking daughter instead of Judy Greer. I don't know why. I was like, bro, she would have killed it. From How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, I know. What does she even look like nowadays?
Just like Judy Greer. That fucking film, about the same age.
I'm just so used to seeing her in How I Met Your Mother now, and like her going through all the stages and that I like see her as an older lady now. I couldn't see her as a teenager.
Anymore. No, like, not as a teenager, as the fucking, the mother.
Oh, okay.
Not as the granddaughter.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. Okay, but God, do you think she could do it?
Yeah. I think she'd kill it.
All right.
Okay.
I've never seen her in anything but comedies. And she's always got like that little dumb smile on her face.
And then you wouldn't expect it when she comes in with the fucking pickaxe.
Well, you know, I definitely
fucking hard.
I didn't expect it when fucking Michael Myers popped up behind fucking Judy Greer.
Can we talk about the twist? The quote unquote trailer twist.
All right. So you talked about it in your thing. Okay. And it was in the trailer, and it did sound kind of fucked up in the trailer. When I watched it in the context of the movie, it actually didn't bother me that much. And now when I think about it, honestly, this, out of all the fucking, backstories or whatever, or just like reasons for Michael Myers to kill that has been given in the different timelines and different movies, out of all of them, this one's probably the fucking best one if you think about it. Because you got fucking...
It's better than the cult shit.
It's better than the cult. It's better than goddamn fucking... Oh, it was fucking abused as a child and now I see a fucking white horse in fucking Rob Zombie's wife. Like, it's better than that. What else is there? Well, H2O and Resurrection, it's back to, like, nothing, but...
Right.
You know, it's better than fucking, like, I have to kill my entire family for some reason. Which was, like, tied into the cult, but wasn't originally tied into the cult with, like...
It's still carried over in
H2O. The 2 and H2O timeline is just kind of like, he's just trying to kill his family.
But there wasn't a reason for it. I don't know, to me, I just wish they wouldn't have went the supernatural route. Like, again, like, I don't know.
Well, obviously he's semi-supernatural in some way.
Considering he got shot multiple times
and so
stabbed multiple times.
If you're going to explain, like, his supernatural ability to survive anything, him killing people and fucking becoming more immortal or whatever, every person he kills, I mean, that's a better fucking explanation for it than I think that we've probably ever gotten. I hope that in the next movie it isn't some fucking weird thing where it's like, oh, when he was a kid he opened a spell book and like you know what I mean?
I don't think they're
what was it?
He has to make blood sacrifices, he's a witch or something.
Well, like in the Thorn trilogy, it was like what, like his fucking like babysitter or something did the spell on him, like some like ritual.
Jesus like the, Christ. The yeah, cult. She turned out to be the fucking old lady that was like in the Thorn cult. God damn it. I hate the storyline for part 6, but I love that movie
much. I love Chris and Michael Myers.
I'm telling you, we gotta watch the producer's cut now that's on Blu-ray.
It's the worst thing ever. It's so bad.
I watched a really bad quality copy of the producer's cut.
I've seen a really bad quality one as well. I bought the bootleg DVD at Cinema Wasteland.
Yeah, I've never seen the Blu-ray one. I have it on Blu-ray. Now,
it's so like the movie's so fucking pissed that I don't want to see it.
We gotta watch it.
God, it's so
bad. I want to watch. I'd like to watch it. Good quality. I mean,
it's piss. It's so bad. It's like the second worst Halloween movie I've ever seen. Behind H2. Oof.
Well, I liked the whole sheriff story arc in this a lot. It's probably one of my
favorites. What? Didn't do anything.
No, but I liked that he was the one, like, he went when they were going to shoot Michael Myers, and he blocked the
Hawkins.
Shot.
Oh, let's just say Hawkins.
Not the sheriff with the cowboy hat. I wish the cowboy hat guy had a lot more to do in this.
There's so many. It's hard when I don't know all the characters' names.
He just looks fucking. I'm pissed.
We've said his name is Hawkins like a thousand times.
I know, but I guess I keep remembering Lori calling him Frank the whole time because she by his first name. I want to call him Frank the whole time.
You can call him Frank. That's also his name.
Okay. Well, I like that when they're about to kill him, and the flashback, you find out later, and he, you know, stops the shot, hits the hands up so they don't shoot him, and he talks about thinking like
he stops Loomis.
Yeah.
Loomis is gonna shoot him, and he fucking takes.
No, I thought it was the cop, and Loomis.
No. Loomis
walks out of the house and fucking points the revolver down at him, and the guy runs up behind him because he was upstairs. So he comes from out of the house behind Loomis and fucking pulls the gun up.
It's hard because they do that flashback. They do the thing this way. They do that flashback a few times. They don't do the final reveal that he does that to him, and then they finally wait till. Way, obviously, right at the end of the film, and they show that he runs out.
Just a nitpick thing, I think they showed way too many flashbacks in this. Like, they would cut back to the 2018 one and, like, show, like, 10 seconds, and they'd cut back to 78 from the actual 78 film.
Right.
And it's like, we've seen this shit before. Like, you don't need to... There's home video. Like, it's not like an 80s film where you have to show, like, the fucking flashbacks.
I think part of it, too, is they were just trying... I feel like they were just like, well, we're just going to make sure that everyone knows we're retconning everything besides Halloween 1, Halloween 2018, and we're going to make sure... Because people were still... Fans online, things were like, oh, they can still make Halloween 2 part of the continuity, things like that. And I feel like this was kind of like...
Well, that's ended right at the beginning when it shows them getting captured instantly.
Right. I feel like that was a big point of that, you know, to make sure, like... No, the new story, our timeline is just going to be, you know, the new trilogy and then the original, obviously. But, do we talk about the end more? I mean, we kind of started to talk about it when we didn't.
I mean, she fucking dies and then...
She gets killed.
For better or worse, like, I think everyone can walk out of this movie and be dying to see what happens next.
Lori's gonna fucking bust out of the hospital. Like, her and Michael are gonna come face to face again. And now the only question is she going to kill him or is Hawkins going to kill him and right his wrong from fucking 40 years ago or whatever?
You can kill him, because there's still the
supernatural. Yeah, if you can.
Because Lori seems to know more about this supernatural element to it than anyone else
does. Here's another thing that I want to put out there, okay? And this is just headcanon for me, and I don't think this is the way that they're going to go. But it's also...
They also haven't shot it yet, so... There could be some fan response.
It's also a thing of where, like, how would Lori know any of that? Right? So here's my thing. She's fucking high as a fucking kite when she's saying all that shit. She's fucked up. And it really did seem like kind of like the babblings of someone that was like fucked up.
You have to also realize how fucking paranoid and how much she's obsessed about this her entire life now.
Michael could have not gotten up. That could have just been her imagining the whole fucking thing.
No, he's definitely up. But that's just Michael Myers. Like, you're not going to kill Michael Myers. How would she be imagining? I mean, I guess she could be imagining that, but that would mean the entire ending of the movie was all imagination, which is bullshit. That would suck.
In my head, you know how I think they're going to do it? I don't know. I could be completely wrong. I think they'll kill both Lori and Michael at the same time, and maybe Hawkins will be alive, maybe he won't. I think the only person...
Maybe Hawkins alive, will do it. Lori will be holding him or whatever, and it'll be like one of those, do it! And then he's going to be struggling with it, and he has to kill both of them.
I think they're going to kill both of them. That's my prediction. I think Lori and Michael will both die, so they can be like the nail in the coffin, because...
What role does the granddaughter play in it, though?
I think she just fucking lives. I think she's just going to be... I think either Hawkins...
She's got to have a bigger role than just survive.
I think she's going to be the one to help Lori... quote unquote kill Michael, but Michael's also gonna kill her. Well, because the thing that I like about this is obviously the daughter dies at the end, Lori's daughter. That's gonna be the fire that's gonna light Lori and the granddaughter through the fucking roof. So in my head, are they gonna wait? Because Lori's like, oh, he might not come back. We might get him tomorrow. We might get him next week. We might get him next Halloween. I assume she's now going to take a year to heal and plan everything to kill Michael. I don't think the third one's going to take place in the same...
Yeah, it has to take place in the same night, because how do they explain
Michael's
that
he's just murdering the entire world for a year? He's just
sitting in his fucking house all year?
I think they'll just have him
find They know where disappear. He is.
He'd be happy. He killed everyone on that block. I mean, all the people that were outside.
I think it's going to be the same night. I think they're going to find the body, and then Lori and the daughter are going to be pissed, and fucking the manhunt's going
to
begin.
Well, the daughter's still like, what, two houses over? And the paramedics were tending to her. Like, her mom literally got killed fucking two houses over from where she was. I mean, they could definitely 100% do that. The way that Lori worded things, I was kind of like, that was just how my brain put it together. But, I mean, it'd be cool if it was all one long night. I mean, because they don't...
I think that's how they should do it. Like, how are you going to make Michael disappear for a year?
I mean,
or
they
two?
Did it, they did not two. I don't want to do two, but, like, I mean, they did it in every other Halloween film. That's just...
He was also in a cult.
Yeah, there was also a reason why he only killed on Halloween, and this, he's just...
But they start hinting at the supernatural shit. So, I don't...
But it has nothing to do with the day of the year, the calendar year. As far as we know, it could be the fucking Thorn Cult again, for all we know. We don't know.
They're not going to go that way.
I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying
everyone
we don't know what it is.
Everyone hates the fucking Thorn Cult. They won't go that way. No, they might make a reference to it, but like...
I'm just saying no one knows what it is. They haven't even shot the fucking film yet. It's shooting in January.
I think that Lori and Michael will both die. That's my prediction on that. I think they'll both die. I'm not sure if...
I think that's a pretty sound prediction since Jamie Lee said this is it.
I have a feeling this is going to be... I feel like they're also going to do this. They're calling it Halloween Ends.
I mean, it has to be... I mean, how can she do another one?
Well, right. The thing is, like, I don't even think physically
they'd
she
have
would
to
fu- or
they
be
have
able
to fucking,
to.
They'd have to fucking reboot it again and still fucking have her there, which would be like...
She'd be 90.
Yeah, it'd be too fucking tired at this point.
I feel
How many times have you rebooted it with fucking Jamie Lee Curtis?
I feel like with...
Three? This is the third time?
John Carpenter.
The second time.
No, because H2O is still kind of a reboot.
A soft reboot.
What's the third reboot with Jamie Lee Curtis?
Well, this one. This.
Yeah, this is the third.
Oh, okay. Second reboot. Okay.
The second reboot.
Third timeline with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
I feel like they're really trying with this to be like, because they have John Carpenter on board. They have everyone on board. They want on board.
John Carpenter on board, quote unquote.
Well, he, you know what I mean? He gave his
blessing.
He's
playing fucking Metal Gear. He's like, yep, looks good, bro.
But I mean, I feel like they want this to be like, this is going to be the definitive line. We have Lori. We have everyone back. Like, this is going to be what we think Halloween should be. That's how I feel when I watch these films. I don't know.
I think it's the best timeline as far as, like, you know, story goes. Thus far, it's been the best timeline. Unless you just, like, maybe it's even with the Halloween 1, Halloween 2 timeline.
I love Halloween and Halloween 2.
I still have Halloween 2 rated a half star above 2018. Do I think that stands? I feel like they're even in my eyes.
I don't know. I feel like Halloween 2, I don't know, it's my favorite Halloween film besides the first one. So.
I've talked about
it. It's Halloween. Miles' favorite of all time.
I've talked about Halloween 2 in great detail, so I don't think I need to.
Halloween 2 is the movie that got me into horror movies.
That's also
straight
one
up.
Of them.
It's not one of them. It is the movie
for
that
you.
Got me into horror.
See, but you both saw it before you saw the original Halloween.
Correct.
I saw it after, and I've seen them all 100 times since. I still think it's the second best one.
I love Halloween 2. But I think on a, not a closing note, because we still talk about whatever you guys want to talk about.
Michael Myers getting burned to death is kind of a lame death. When you think of all the shit he ends up going through in the end of the series, throughout the series.
I guess
we didn't know at the time, but at the same time, he got shot six times in the first movie, and then He burned to death in the next one.
Well, because it was the explosion of the oxygen tank.
But he still walks. He still fucking walks out.
I guess
he walks out totally on fire and then collapses and dies.
But I guess if your body is entirely engulfed in flame, it's more definitive than just being shot a few times.
Blow his head off. That's what's definitive to me. That's the only thing that's never happened to Michael Myers
he's been decapitated. Everyone had shovels. They had all these
things. He almost got decapitated in H2O, but it was the fucking jabroni.
Ambulance driver, yeah.
That's what I always want them to do. On this one, they have him down on the ground in the center of the street. They had those shovels. I would have taken a shovel right at the back of his neck, stomped as hard as I could through the fucking thing. Like, they just don't...
They didn't follow through.
Maybe, that's the thing. Maybe because we've all watched enough horror films, but I'm sorry. If some crazy motherfucker like that, I'm going to dismember him.
How hard would you pop if they fucking decapitated him and were like, all right. And also his body just stood up.
I was going to say, his head just like crawls back to his body.
He just fucking stood up, picked his head up, and just set it back on his shoulders. And was just like... And then just fucking went back to town.
The world would have hated it, but I would have screamed. I would have been in the air like this. I would have been levitating in circles like this. I'm like, all right.
Because that's really it. Like, in all the timelines, that's the one thing that's never fucking happened. Well, he got his head blown off in H2, right? Shotgun point blank to the face at the end.
That's at the end of the first one, and he survived.
Doesn't she do it again at the end when they're all in the cabin?
No, he literally gets gunned down by like a billion people.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets shot again in the cabin and dies. There's two endings to the film. Neither of them...
Are good.
Are good. And neither of them, I would say, probably definitively kill him.
And the alternate ending is the fucking... Die! Is the worst fucking thing I've ever seen.
That's the one where they fucking shoot him down with like fucking helicopters and shit.
That is the worst fucking thing. When I watched that on YouTube, I was like...
I've never seen that ending.
It's literally, he takes his fucking mask off, goes up to fucking Laurie Strode or whatever, and screams die at her before he tries to kill her. And I'm like,
his only spoken dialogue ever.
I don't know if fucking Malik Akkad saw that and went to Rob Zombie and was like, you're fucking changing that. Because why did Rob Zombie ever even think that that would be a fucking good idea?
I feel like that movie was, like I've said a billion, it was anti-Halloween Halloween. It was almost like a fuck you to Halloween fans. And I think I liked the balls behind it, but obviously I knew watching that you weren't going to like it. I knew other people weren't going to like it, but anyways.
Well, he said fuck you to me. I'm like the biggest fucking Halloween fan there is in Ashtabula County.
I will say
I'm sure Malik Akkad's a bigger fan than I am.
He fucking
Mustafa Akkad definitely
fucking
was.
Fucking go, bro.
I will say, on a side note, it is the podcast, his stills for the Munsters came out. I sent those to the group. God damn, did he have to cast his fucking wife in this again or in a main role? Because
Zombie's making a Munsters movie?
Did you not see that?
I shared it to the group. It's filming right now.
I mean, I could care less about what Rob Zombie's doing, but so if you posted anything that said Rob Zombie on it anywhere, I was probably like, nice try.
I posted it today. I don't know. It just came out. It came out today or yesterday, the stills.
It was either today or yesterday.
And the answer is yes. He has to cast his wife and everything. She's not even hot.
She's not even hot. And she's gotten even skinnier and worse.
She looks like shit in every fucking movie I've ever seen her in.
When she was in 31, her rib, like you literally, her. She looked like she had a spider imprinted on her chest, but it was just her bones. Like she has like no, she has no anything.
All right, we're talking about some hot girls. We're getting a little too hetero. Are you guys forgetting it's Cocktober?
All right. Final notes in the film. Any final notes? No, because I got like wrapping things up.
I think we're good. I think we beat it to death here.
I think
we liked it.
I think once we see
we all liked
Halloween
it.
Ends, I think we're gonna appreciate this one more. I think it's gonna.
I don't think that.
I think it's a trilogy.
I'm hoping
Halloween Ends will come out, and I'm hoping that it'll make me hate the second one more. It'll be because I'll be like, man, what was up with that fucking piece of shit in the middle?
I think I'm gonna have the same opinion of it now, which is that it's a fun '80s trashy movie. Would I have wanted something better? Obviously, but as it is, it's still 3.5 stars. It's still Halloween. It's still.
I'm going to rewatch it a couple more times. I'm going to see it in theaters, and I'm going to probably watch it on Peacock again, see how I feel about it. But I really did enjoy it the first time. There's some inconsistencies, but we did talk about those. So.
I enjoyed it. I was smiling most of the time I was in the theater. So
if I bet you if I saw it in theaters too, I would have been marking out more because seeing super hard gore in a theater is it's my shit.
I swear to God.
It's just a fun, stupid movie. That's literally all it is. And I like fun, stupid movies. So that's my take on Halloween Kills.
I seriously thought for a second when they mentioned Ben Tramer's name, it's like you had a crush on Ben Tramer. He was about to walk into that hospital like fucking Ash Williams with a fucking shotgun. Oh, like,
what if it was literally, what if it was literally
played Bruce by Campbell? Bruce, they could have got Bruce Campbell God, to play him.
So legendary. Bruce Campbell is Ben Tramer. Holy
He's shit. Around the right age. That would have been incredible. Who is the sexiest Michael Myers? We got to get to the fucking bottom of this.
Oh, shit.
The sexiest Michael Myers. Well, it's definitely not.
Are we just going to fight for who picks the first Halloween?
It's definitely not Rob Zombie, Michael Myers, especially not H2.
Sexiest Michael Myers.
Is it H2O, the CGI mask? Is that the sexiest version of Michael Myers? It's not just a CGI mask. It's literally the worst CGI I've ever seen.
So are we going off of the mask? Are we going off of the feats in the film? Are we going off...
Just throw it all in there.
Yeah, you could just...
So we're saying mask on during sex, just like with Jason. Because well, I feel like you got to...
I feel like Jason taking his mask off during sex would be more sexy than Michael Myers taking his mask off.
Then I feel like you got to take... H2O out of this immediately because that you see too much of his eyes.
You don't want prolonged eye contact with the Halloween H2O while you're having sex with him.
If this was the 70s, by far the sexiest Michael Myers would be the fucking one with the slick back hair from the fourth one.
All right, I got mine. I'm just gonna do a random curse of Michael Myers. Michael Myers,
what makes him sexy?
Talk to us about why you get an erection every time you see the curse of Michael Myers. Michael Myers.
I just like that he's like very direct in this, and he just seems to know what he wants. He's kind of got the killing down to a science.
And in the producer's cut, he fucks his niece.
There you go. That's why it is. No, I know.
Because Miles is very into incest.
There's just some really fucking.
It's really big on the internet now.
What?
Incest. I think it's like one of the top tags on Pornhub. I'm like, well, I think that they removed like the actual like incest tag and like all of, like the incest kind of videos. They put step in the name now, even if it
well, obviously is step, or isn't. Step sister brother porn is beyond huge. I've seen Pornhub and it sucks. I think I've talked about something before. You go on there and you're like, oh, this chick's hot. And then you look down at what the title is and you're just like, fucking hell, I'm going to have to mute this one because it's like the whole time she's like, fuck me, stepbrother, fuck me.
I just got my pick.
But
can I just claim it? Can I just lock it in
ahead.
Right now?
Yeah, do it.
Halloween, the porn parody. Sexiest Michael Myers.
Oh my God. Never seen it.
Never seen it did either.
Didn't you watch some of it at Dan's house during a Halloween party one year? Or was that before you ever even came? You never came to Dan's house when he still lived in that like underground like
no,
apartment
I was,
thing.
I was there. That's when I first met him because that's where we watched Edward Penis Hands. But he only lived there for probably 6 to 8 months. And then he moved when I met him.
Well, I know that the first Halloween party I went to, Lando like fucking showed up with the Halloween porn parody and Dallas Buyers Club porn parody.
Oh my
and,
God.
And like we watched like a little bit of the Dallas Buyers Club one and then we put on the Halloween one and the sex scenes were way too long. Like, each sex scene was, like, 30 minutes. And I was like, fuck. I've never wanted to see a plot more in porn than I did in the Halloween porn parody.
That was probably the October before I met them, because I met everyone at Royal Rumble in January, so it was probably before that.
It's where that, like, famous, you know that famous picture that was like a Twitter meme where it was like me and my girl on Halloween or whatever, and like they're in the bathroom mirror, and it's like Michael Myers.
Oh, that's yeah, from yeah, that. That's from, oh, I yeah, didn't know. That's from oh, that. Okay. Well, I'm still gonna go with the curse. I guess he's. Are you really gonna go with the porn parody, Michael Myers?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he's the only one that. Well, besides yours, he has sex in that too. In the producer's
cut. And the producer's, it's not on screen though.
Yeah, but it's implied. It's implied rape of the niece.
I just liked him from fucking hell. I like. There's those scenes of him like towards the end where he's like walking real like hard and manly. He's like on a mission. He knows what he wants in it. I like it.
It's like a flashback scene. So like Jamie's baby in the producer's cut is Michael Myers' baby. Yeah. They like the whole sex thing is like a flashback sequence.
I don't remember that from when I watched, but I think I watched it on YouTube.
Unfortunately, so. You do not see his dick. I mean, if you saw his dick in the producer's cut, then we're talking like a 5 out of 5 movie here. As it stands, it's like a 0 out of fucking 10, but...
We're going to have to... Jared's talking out the producer's cut pretty high, so I'm definitely going to have to watch the Blu-ray version
of it. If you ever wanted to see Michael Myers be stopped by Paul Rudd just by putting rocks on the floor, then the producer's cut is the movie for you.
Fucking Paul Rudd, the man. All right, buddy, we gave our picks. What do you got?
It's hard for me because it's a toss-up between the two obvious ones, which are the original...
And the porn parody.
And 5, right?
And
the Mask and 5, right?
The Mask and 5 is the absolute fucking worst, most atrocious thing I've ever seen in my
that
fucking life.
That doesn't get your dick hard? The Mask
His
and 5?
His fucking neck looks like a dick.
Well, it's here a very we go. Thick, that's what we're talking about. A thick, throbbing dick.
I guess if you want to be fucked by Michael Myers' mask, you got to go with part 5. But I was going to say the sexiest Michael Myers is either from the original, or I feel like he was getting a lot of attention online in 2018 when he came back, because it was a big thing. To be like, oh, Michael Myers is like hot now.
I almost won the 2018 one. Yeah.
So it's hard. I think I'm going with the classic original Michael Myers.
Pretty sexy. Pretty sexy.
No doubt about it, sexy. And technically, that's the same Michael Myers that's in 2018, just a Silver Fox version.
True.
So.
True.
As Nick Castle, Nick Castle playing him again at the end of the movie when those.
Oh, I wonder because he has a goatee. He has a goatee, right?
Yeah, because it was Nick Castle in 2018. When he was standing in the fucking
in the mirror,
right
in the
window like, shot.
So yeah.
And my wife is home, so we're gonna wrap this shit up. We'll have the poll up online, and we'll catch you guys next week.